First, after hiring a new general manager in David Stearns and committing to a roster rebuild a couple years back, the Milwaukee Brewers are looking to compete for a playoff spot this year after playing well above expectations in 2017. Spring training is now in full swing, and our next guest is there in Phoenix. Tom Hodricourt joins us for a preview of the Brewers' season. He's a sports writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob.
The Brewers last year didn't make the playoffs, but they came a heck of a lot closer, I think, than anybody expected. Are we getting a sense of optimism about the Brewers' 2018 season?
I don't think there's any question about that, Rob. Both internally and out in the baseball world in general, I think the Brewers elevated their status a lot last year. As you noted, they weren't expected to do a lot. They won 86 games. That was in the second full season of a large-scale rebuilding plan, and you generally don't get there that quickly. So it got the Brewers management's attention, Mark Attanasio, the owner, and general manager David Stearns, and they went out and made a couple of very eye-catching moves when they acquired outfielders Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. So now they appear to have an even more potent team, especially offensively.
Yeah, let's talk about those two new acquisitions in the outfield. How much of a difference maker could they be?
Well, I think a lot. Yelich and Cain are known as two of the better all-around players in baseball, all-around outfielders for sure. They're very good defenders, and a lot of people don't realize that when you improve your defense, especially significantly, it helps your pitching. Your pitching becomes better because these guys catch balls that other players don't get to. But then they're also very high on-base percentage guys, and the Brewers have been kind of a swing-and-miss team the last couple of years, and that's kind of the way the game in general is going now. There's a lot of home runs hit, a lot of strikeouts. The Brewers, in fact, set the major league record for strikeouts each of the last 2 years, so that's not a record you want to keep breaking. And so Cain and Yelich are way better at getting on base, and that should improve their offense.
And then speaking of outfield, there's a fellow named Ryan Braun who usually plays out there. I understand because of these new folks, he's trying out at first base in spring training. Is that right?
He is. He told us the other day that he's not even, quote, remotely comfortable there yet. And that would be expected. I think people in general, and Rob, maybe you hear this just in baseball discussions, think that anybody can play first base. You know, it's kind of considered where you put the fat kid in Little League or whatever you want to say. You know, everybody thinks you can play first base. But there's a lot of nuances to it. And especially in this modern era of defensive shifting where the first baseman will be positioned far, far off the bag and have to really hustle to get back over there on a ground ball, there's a lot more to it. And Ryan Braun would be the first to tell you. You know, he's played the outfield for a decade now. And so we'll see. If that is something that carries over to the season to any significant extent. Otherwise, we can't wait to see how they're going to get all these outfielders playing time, because the three starting outfielders from last year, Ryan Braun in left and Keon Broxton in center and Domingo Santana in right, are all back and still on the team. So now you add Yelich and Cain. You know, this isn't men's softball. You don't get to use a rover out there. you get three guys. And so, I've yet to hear a manager complain, I've got too many good players, please stop giving me so many good players. But Craig Counsell is going to have to find at bats for all these guys unless they trade some away or somebody gets hurt.
Let's switch to pitching now. I understand that the Brewers haven't made a big splash, a big pickup in the starting pitching rotation.
They have not. I know that's discouraged some of their fans. There were a couple of big names out there this winter. Yu Darvish, who went to the Cubs. That made Brewers fans even crazier because not only did they not get him, the dreaded Cubs got him. So that made a few heads spin off into orbit. And then Jake Arrieta, who just recently signed with the Phillies. But the people need to understand the restraints the Brewers have in their market size. They're in the, depending on who you listen to, either the smallest market in baseball or the second smallest. And so they do have to watch their payroll. The Cubs will operate probably with a payroll around 170 or 180 this year, and the Brewers will be half that. So they can't just spend willy-nilly on pitchers, especially older ones who might not see the back end of the contracts and still be productive. So they have an unfailing belief in their ability to make the guys they have better than they used to be. And we saw that dramatically last year with three pitchers, Chase Anderson, Zach Davies, and Jimmy Nelson. They all were better than they were the year before, and pitching coach Derek Johnson has a lot to do with that. Now, Jimmy Nelson's injured. He hurt his shoulder late last year. He had surgery. We don't know when he's coming back, maybe not till midseason. And that does hurt the Brewers. He was one of their best pitchers last year. He had almost 200 strikeouts when he got hurt. And so they're hoping he can come back by midseason and then also be, you know, nearly as good as he was in the past. If he does, that'll be like trading for a pitcher at midseason.
Tom Hodricourt's with us, sports writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're previewing the Milwaukee Brewers season. Tom, before we leave free agency, it's been kind of a weird year. Some people still on the table, some people signing shorter contracts than usual. Could the Brewers go bargain hunting still?
Well, there's a couple of guys out there, Alex Cobb, who has pitched in the past for Tampa Bay, but I think he's still looking for more money than the Brewers want to spend on him. So we'll see. As you said, it's been a very, very odd offseason, and maybe a watershed moment that we're going to look back on in future years about when the game's economics changed a little bit, because teams just look really hesitant now to spend a lot of money on older players, and the players' union is not pleased about that. And but there's no new collective bargaining agreement for four more years, so the union is just going to have to, you know, put up with it. And they're not pleased that, you know, the salaries have gone down for some of their, you know, higher experienced players. So we'll see if this was the year that the economics turned for good, or if it was just an abnormal offseason. We do have guys like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado coming on the market next winter, and they're considered two of the top players in baseball. If they don't get any offers, then things have changed for good. So, well, we won't know until we move forward, but as you noted, this has been one strange offseason for free agents.
Now, Tom, it's been a long time since I've been to a spring training, a really long time, and a lot of people may never get there. Can you set the scene for us, for baseball fans, just what it's like to be at spring training?
It's very relaxed. You know, the games don't count, there's not a lot of pressure on the teams. Early on in spring training, you don't see the regular players play very much because they're working their way towards being ready for the season, and they don't want to leave it all down here. You know, they play over 30 games. It's a long exhibition season. So you add that to the 162-game regular season, and you're talking 200 games before you even think about the playoffs. So it's more relaxed. You're sitting in the sun, wearing shorts and T-shirts. I'm sure the grass looks greener. The beer tastes colder. You know, you get a little closer look at the players, too. You can get a little closer to them, get their autographs. So I know a lot of people enjoy it. It's kind of a relaxed atmosphere. And you know, I'm not going to kid you. I miss six of the most horrid weeks of winter because they're the last weeks of winter, and everybody's tired of it, right, Rob? I'm sure you can echo that sentiment, right?
Nice work if you can get it, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not complaining. I don't sit by the pool drinking pina coladas like a lot of people think I do, but I'm watching baseball. I'm covering baseball for a living. And for 6 weeks, I'm out of the frozen tundra, so not going to hear a whole lot of complaints about that.
And, Tom, you know, it's fun for the reporters, the guys who have jobs locked down. It's a little more relaxed for them. But I imagine there's a lot of guys kind of on the cusp who are, you know, they're fighting for their job here. This is their chance to prove something.
Yeah, the Brewers didn't have that many job openings at the start of this camp because they did so well last year, as we noted earlier in the program, that they just wasn't that many new jobs. These guys, a lot of these guys are still in the club. So, you know, for the guys that are on the cusp, but they've got a lot at stake. And then beyond that, Rob, there's the young players who know they're not going to make the team this spring, but who would like to be considered in the future, and they want to leave an impression too. So those players get after it. The guys with jobs can be relaxed, you know, get in shape, work their way in slowly. The other guys go out there and get after it every day. And so you start with like 55 to 60 players in camp, and you're only going to keep 25. So there's a whole lot of guys there trying to fight for their future. So there are different agendas going on out there for players depending on their experience level. And that's what makes camp interesting. We've had guys like G-Man Choi, a South Korean player who is new to the organization, hit a bunch of home runs this spring and, really open eyes. And then last year's Brewers' number one draft pick, Keston Hira, who was in college this time a year ago, he's been tearing it up in spring training. So Brewers fans are all excited about his future with the club. So you get to see a wide variety of players with a wide variety of agendas and hopes and for showing what they can do. So makes it very interesting.
Well, Tom, enjoy the rest of spring training and the weather. Thanks for joining us today.
Rob, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That was Tom Hodricourt, a sports writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us from Arizona for a preview of the Milwaukee Brewers season.